Well, our guest now pretty much broke up with bad food, which is fitting since she's also a divorce lawyer. Kiwi-born Carolee Fontanelli quit processed foods after a trip to Thailand, where she ate like a local and for the first time in ages felt fantastic. She switched to whole foods on her return to Queensland, where she heads up a successful law firm. She's just finished her third recipe book called Nourishing You, full of sugar-free, gluten-free and dairy-free recipes. Carolee is with us. Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. You've got a busy enough day job and now writing cooking and wellness books. Is cooking a relaxing kind of de-stressor for you? Where does it sit in your life?
Yeah, definitely is. And when I really got into eating whole foods, because I didn't always like healthy food, I used to like a lot of junk food and processed foods, but that doesn't do you very well when you also have a really highly stressful life. So I just sort of found joy in, you know, creating recipes and cooking, and that was sort of my downtime on the weekends.
So what were your bad habits? What were your favourite go-to processed junk foods?
Oh, I think like growing up, and I grew up in Whangarei, and, you know, in the 80s, we just sort of grew up on, you know, muesli bars and all of that kind of thing, cans of spaghetti, mince pies, you know, all of bakery food. McDonald's, Georgie pie back in the day. My goodness. Anything like that I used to love, but it just really didn't love me. So I just didn't have good health.
The other thing, training to become a lawyer, then getting your first job, your first work, we're talking long hours. It's not the healthiest lifestyle straight off the bat.
No,
is it?
It's definitely not. And I actually didn't go to uni until I was in my 30s. I'd already moved to Australia. And I already had a family. So I had young children. I was working as well as studying full time. So by the time I finished uni and then started my career as a divorce lawyer, I was really stressed. So adding to that a bad diet and unhealthy habits just created a lot more stress. So when I found real food and committed to eating real food, it absolutely changed my life.
I'm going to come back to that backstory because I find it fascinating. But let's crack into the big turning point, which was this overseas holiday. And did you, you know, go with any intention of eating differently, or did you just go and enjoy the local food? And
we went as a family, and the kids were sort of young by then, and we had been eating a lot of processed food, and they were eating a lot of processed food. I raised these kids on chicken nuggets and little red sausages and things because it was easy and I was busy, and, you know, that's sort of what we did. And I just used that trip to Thailand, it was for 1 month, as a bit of a breaking point to sort of try and help everyone get on track with eating healthy food. And so we said no processed food while we're there. Well, we actually just sort of said there's no McDonald's, there's no pizza. We're in Thailand. This is a place where we're just going to eat the local food. And I was actually really surprised with how incredible I felt after a month of eating what is really just real food.
So you came back, and how long did it last?
I came back, and truthfully, it lasted about a month, and I continued on. I had been sort of someone who was either on or off healthy food in terms of I was either on a diet and trying to lose weight, or I was like eating normal Western diet, which is, you know, your takeaways and all the food that we all love on the regular. And so when I came back, I continued with the real food for about a month and continued to lose weight and continued to feel amazing. But of course, it's a lot more difficult when you're stressed and busy compared to being on holiday in Thailand, right? And where you've got to cook yourself and all of that kind of thing. So I slipped right back off straight after, you know, about a month later. And about 2 or 3 months later, I was so ill from the processed food. And I just sort of thought to myself, Carolee, you're actually being ridiculous because you know how good it feels to eat real food. You shouldn't be eating all this processed food that just makes you, you know, have stomach cramps and feel awful and feel sluggish and bloated and low in energy and all of that type of thing. So I literally made a commitment one day after a long stop in the bathroom at my office where the automatic lights actually turned off. And I was sitting there in the dark. And it was just sort of literally a light bulb moment. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. So that's when That's when I turned and committed to eating real food.
You also started blogging, and did that act of writing, did it help?
I think so. So I started blogging. So this is like 2013. It's a while back now. I started blogging, and I started on the weekends creating my favorite recipes that I love from my childhood out of real ingredients. So things like, you know, Mum would make the self-sourcing chocolate pudding from Alison Hulse book, you know, that gorgeous one that we all love. And so I'd think, well, how can I make that without sugar and without refined processed ingredients? And so I would experiment making things like that. And I really enjoyed converting my old favorites into a healthier version, which really is what my books are all about. They are your old favorites and creating healthier versions of them. So, yeah, that's sort of how it came about. And then I'd post the recipes online and people just loved it. And then that was when my first book sort of came about then.
Within about a year, in fact, you had enough for the real food
page.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The latest book is not just about food. The title says it's about nourishing yourself, mind, body and spirit.
Yes,
they all kind of go together, don't they?
Well, they do. And so this book has come about because I was doing some fundraising for Dancing CEO, which is to raise awareness for domestic violence. And I wanted to create a book that was sort of a segue between my life as a divorce lawyer, where I'm sort of amongst all these, you know, lots of highly professional people who are living highly stressed lives, people going through divorce, they're living stressful lives and not nourishing themselves. And so I sort of thought it's not also only about food. It's about nourishing our, you know, minds, nourishing our friendships, nourishing the time we have, you know, all of that type of thing. There's so much more to nourishing you than just food.
So what else do you focus on? It's, you know, it's interesting. I'm just talking about, again, how stressed out people are in your line of work, whether they're the lawyers or whether they're the clients. What else do you practice in your own life to try and nourish the whole person?
Yeah, so one of the things that I practice is getting up and having a really good morning routine. So exercise, gratitude journaling is really important in my life. So looking for all the positives in life, because sometimes that can be hard, and especially when we've gone through a time like we've just all been through, and there's been so much trauma for so many people with loss of jobs and things like that, actually looking to what we can be grateful for, and, you know, making daily notes of those things so that we're, you know, being positive and, you know, having fun, having a growth mindset, learning, having good relationships, all of those types of things to nourish your, you know, your spirit as well as your mind and body.
What do you leave out of most of your recipes? What are you trying to minimise?
Sorry, what was the question?
What do you leave out of most of your recipes? What are you trying to minimise?
So the recipes have no processed ingredients at all. So none of my recipes require any packaged foods. It's mostly all made from vegetables, seafood, meat, seeds, nuts, all of those types of things. So thinking back to our grandparents' era and really getting back to the basics of ingredients from nature.
No sugar. I think you were a reformed sugar addict. How have you counted it?
I was absolutely a sugar addict. Give me a bag of licorice all sorts and it would be gone in 2 seconds flat. Could not leave, you know, any sweets in the house. And I was one of those people, and I'm sure many of your listeners can relate, that you get to the afternoon and you just want that sweet treat, or you finish dinner and you're thinking about your cup of tea and your Tim Tam or whatever it is that you've got stashed away in the cupboard. So initially I would have bliss balls made with dates and nuts, and I've got lots of recipes like that in Nourishing You. I'd make lots of raw cakes out of cashew, and to sweeten things, you know, using fruit, using dates, using honey or natural maple syrup. But as time has gone on, so I'm a lot of years in now, I don't sort of need that as much because the sugar cravings completely disappear when you don't have any. So these days I don't really rely on any of that at all, but it's still, there's still these recipes in my book because I know a lot of people who are trying to cut out sugar. It is a long road. It's not a 5-minute fix, but once you get there, it's amazing.
What do you do differently? You mentioned your inspirations were from childhood and the way our parents and grandparents ate. But, you know, for a lot of people would say, oh, gosh, it was so bland compared to all these really diverse cuisines we have now. What else have you learned about adapting?
Well, one of the things that, you know, people used to do is boil the crap out of everything. So your greens are no longer green anymore. They're brown because they've been sitting on the stove boiling. You know, so it's more modern cooking techniques. So keeping the flavor in your veggies, you know, if you do a stir fry, it really is a quick stir fry. Using loads of fresh herbs. And, back in the day, I don't know if they did that or not, but, you know, Thai flavors and Indonesian flavors and chili and, you know, coriander, all of that kind of thing. And it's so easy now to have a herb garden or have access to, you know, herbs and things like that. Also, we have access to so many beautiful nuts and seeds and, you know, there's all sorts of natural ingredients that we now have on our supermarket shelves. Coconut flour is another one. It's fairly mainstream now, whereas it wasn't even when I started in 2013. It was a specialty item. So we're so fortunate these days. It's easier than ever and it's less expensive than ever as well.
It's been a heck of a journey, Caroline. As you said, you were late, fairly late in studying law. What was it that prompted it? You were already living in Oz, right?
I was already living in Australia. So I was from Whangarei and I moved to Auckland when I was 20 and I got married very young and we came to Australia when I was only 25. And soon after, I had two little boys and soon after, I went through a divorce and over here as a single mum and a New Zealand citizen, and I'm still a New Zealand citizen, you don't get any benefits or anything like that. So you really, you have to be working. And I hadn't looked after my education. I hadn't got any qualifications or anything like that. So as I sort of headed closer to 30, I was sort of thinking, well, I need to look after myself for my future. What am I going to do? So I went off to law school and became a divorce lawyer. Not quite that easily, but,
It's not easy at all.
Looking back, that's what happened. Yeah.
And raising the kids as well. And as you say, very little support. We're still talking about that today. In fact, if anything's got worse, very little support in Australia.
And it's terrible. Yeah. Well, there isn't any. And you know, you to go through and become a citizen, it's no different from whether you're from Brazil, Canada, or America. If you want to become an Australian citizen here, it's the same process, even for Kiwis. It makes it really hard and it's a long, expensive process.
So you well and truly know what stress is and you know what it's like to be in that bind of not feeling healthy and yet it's hard to break out of it because there's so much going on. Was there a moment where you realised you really had fundamentally changed things, where it dawned on you that you were feeling better because you'd got into the right kind of upward spiral with your eating and your health?
Not a defining moment, because it really is a journey. When you've come from years and years of eating a certain way, it can be really easy to fall back into that, and then you've got to sort of pick yourself back up and then keep going with it. So it's not that you just give up processed food and you never touch processed food again. I think you then might touch it down the track and then you're reminded as to why you shouldn't be eating it, and you get back on that track and you just keep trying. And as you keep going, it gets easier and easier to start enjoying healthy food and loving healthy food. But it's definitely something that is a process and a journey and takes time. And your health is an ongoing process for all of us and an ongoing journey for all of us. It's not a quick diet or a quick fix. It's something that we need to be mindful of for our entire lives. And the longer we live a healthy life and eat healthy food, you know, the longer we're going to get to enjoy the things we love.
Thank you, Carolee. Carolee Fontanelli, the book is Nourishing You. There's a lovely recipe for you, a sweet potato, bacon and corn chowder recipe for you on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/9 to noon, and just click on the link.